We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the April 25th, 2022 meeting of the University City City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here.
Councilmember Clay is excused.
Correct. Thank you very much. Before you, you have the agenda. Are there suggested changes or amendments to the agenda?
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, there are two items. I would ask to move item K1 to under E, which is the approval of the minutes after that. And I would recommend the removal of item K3. That item has been previously considered.
K3, is that what you said?
K3. That's correct.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I would ask that the council consider postponing item K4. And that is the ordinance in reference to that tract of land, giving it the address of 6610 Olive Boulevard. And I'd like to ask the council to actually postpone that and actually send that back to the Planning Commission, because I think that there are additional information that's relevant that I don't think that they are fully aware of. And I'd like to have them relook at that. I don't have a problem with the other ordinance, but I do really think that that should be postponed and have the planning go back to the Planning Commission.
Actually, if we can do, we need to divide these out. Mr. Rose has just simply a change to the agenda. And Mr. Smotherson, if you're wanting it to be removed from the agenda, you could make that motion. If you're asking to postpone it, that will actually have to come when that item is brought up.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I'll make that suggestion then. Thank you.
So we have before us we need a motion to recommend the city manager's changes to move K1 up to E3 and then to delete item K3. But so moved by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Before you, you have a proclamation for Arbor Day. It is in the minutes. We appreciate all of you taking the time then to sign the recognition. I skipped one. So thank you, Loretta. I apologize. We make a good team. You much better so than me. You have before you a motion to, we've amended the agenda. Now to approve the amended agenda, is there a motion to do so? By Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. For twice now, the Arbor Day recognition is now in our agenda, in our packet, and council will now sign that later on this evening. You have before you the minutes of the study session of April the 11th regarding redistricting and text amendments. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the regular session minutes of April the 11th. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, I wanted to take this opportunity to recognize several employees that were involved in a life-saving action. I would like to read some comments into the record. On the afternoon of April 2nd, 2022, units 2627 and 2625 were dispatched for a child choking. Upon arriving at the scene, paramedic Captain Daniel Jones found 2-year-old Abraham Napolwatz on the ground, actively choking with bystanders performing CPR. Captain Jones quickly assessed the scene, picked up the child, and raced him to the arriving ambulance. Once inside, Cruz began attempting to clear Abraham's airways. As precious time ticked by, firefighter paramedic Nicholas Stangler worked to open Abraham's clenched jaws. Private Stangler was finally able to open the child's mouth and began suctioning his airways, which partially removed the blockage. He then gently used forceps to remove the remainder of the blockage from Abraham's airway. The crews then assisted the child's ventilation until he began breathing on his own. With University City Police Officer Ben Guitar escorting the ambulance, transported the child to the hospital where he was safely reunited with his parents. I would like to recognize several employees that were involved in the life-saving action. I'd like to start by bringing up Chief Henson. I would like to recognize Captain Daniel Jones. Captain Jones. Thank you and congratulations. Paramedic firefighter Jeff Giles. Thank you and congratulations. Paramedic firefighter Matthew Pay. Thank you and congratulations. Paramedic firefighter Robert Henrick. No, we don't want him to come. We'll provide him with his recognition later. Paramedic firefighter Nicholas Stangler. Paramedic firefighter Joshua McDaniels. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chief. I would like to bring up Acting Police Chief Lemons, Frederick Lemons. I'd like to recognize Police Officer Ben Guitar. I would like to recognize the employees that first hosted the call to make sure that they were dispatched to the right locations. Dispatcher McMatthews. Pita, you were about that big the last time I saw you. And dispatcher Joseph Wiley. Willie. Thank you. Congratulations. If we could all give an applause for all of our employees that did such a wonderful job in this life-saving action, it is certainly. There are many that are in their debt, and I am so proud to represent the public safety officers that were involved in the city of University City. I would also like to recognize one of the council members, Councilmember Hales, who gave me the idea of recognizing these employees publicly. Thank you.
To all of you joining us tonight, thank you very much for your dedication and service to our community and keeping us safe. And I know all the people in the room join me in thanking you for all you do every day, particularly during the past 2 years of keeping us safe under circumstances that I have no idea how all of you made it through. To all of you, thank you very much. Thank you. Returning to the agenda, we have no appointments to boards or commissions nor swearing in, so we will move now to citizen participation. At the present time, we have two citizens who have requested to speak. If anyone else in the room would like to speak, all you need to do is go over by the entry door and fill out a piece of paper that will then let the city clerk know that you either want to speak on a non-agenda item or on an agenda item. When you are asked to come to the podium, we ask that you give your name and address. Each person who speaks is given 5 minutes to speak, and then you will be given a warning that your time has lapsed. If you don't mind, we're going to give just a second maybe for folks to be able to move out. That's a lot of people taking the stairs. Well, they say it's easier going down than up. Our first request to speak is Gene Merson. And if you, when you come to the podium, if you'll hit the button on the bottom of the microphone, then the light will come on as well.
My name is Jean Merson, and I am at 7542 Teasdale. And I didn't know I was going to do this. I am coming before you to ask you to consider that one of the business license renewal forms you have used for years, and I have used for years, is harder on us than we want it to be. I made $675 in my business last year. I've had my business in University City and paid taxes since 1980. So at the tax rate of 0.00116, I owed our city 78 cents. The minimum rate is $30. So that would be about 5%. So I am bringing that to your attention for you to discuss. Do you really mean to do that? I had thought of other options. That's part of what interior designers do, is they think of options. It could be a minimum of less than 2 or 3%. Or it could be a dollar amount. And I find that dollar amounts change because our currency is so flexible. So percentages seem to be fine with me. But if you would consider this, I surely would appreciate it. And so I bet some other people with small business would too. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Thank you very much, Ms. Burson. Our next request to speak is from Anita Carter Foley.
Is it okay? Good evening. My name is Anita Carter Foley. My address is 7847 Birchmont Drive. I am coming to speak to you all regarding the fact or the question as to why our facilities are not open for rental. I have been trying to rent a facility the community to community center, to be specific. I've been sending emails since last year. I've sent them multiple times this year, and I keep getting a different answer. I don't understand why we're not open. They're saying COVID is, quote, over. Clayton is open. Ferguson is open. Olivet is open. So I don't understand why University City is not open. And that is a moneymaker for the city. It's not like they're getting the community center for free. People are paying a fee. So I would like to know, as a citizen, why it is not open. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening and for your comments. As we are with all citizen comments, I'm sure that the city manager or his staff, or and in some cases, members of council, will then reply back to our citizens. We have no public hearing this evening, so we will move forward now to the consent agenda. We have three items on the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you the city manager's report. We'll move to item K2. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, in accordance with Article 3, Section 19, Subsection 2 of the Charter of the City of University City, I'm honored to submit to you the recommended FY 2023 annual operating budget and capital improvement program, FY 2023 through FY 2027. Prior to the Mayor and Council's final consideration of the proposed annual operating budget, there may be proposed amendments. I recommend the Mayor and Council accept receipt of the proposed budget and capital improvement program and set a public hearing for the proposed FY 2023 annual operating budget and FY 2023 through FY 2027 capital improvement program for June the 13th of this year, 2022. There are no other actions that would be required at this time. Honorable Mayor, a motion to accept and to set the public hearing, if you agree, for.
Sorry about that, Mike. Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Councilmember Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this agenda item, item K4, is a conditional use permit for CUP 22-05-6610 Olive to allow the proposed building to be located 2 feet from the adjacent property line and to allow the proposed building to maintain a height of 42 feet above the average grade of the site. We have Dr. Wagner here, if you have questions regarding this item.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. In reference specifically to this ordinance or this conditional use permit, what I'd like to ask is just to recognize this is in reference to the building itself and the configuration that is right now in this report. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. The conditional use permit was prompted by the MSD easement that went across 6610 Olive. So they had to move everything a little bit further east. And so it was closer to the right of way from 6664, I think, Olive. Which is owned by the city, and also request to make the building a little bit taller, and that it would have been needed to be a little bit further away from the property line for a 42-foot tall building, but that easement precluded that from happening. So they moved everything a little bit further east because they couldn't build over the top of that easement. They could put a parking lot over it, but they could not put a building over it, though.
Okay, and then again, this is the wall that's going to be lining Kingsland from the north block to the south block. I mean, again, this is the,
correct.
This
yeah,
is I'm that not, back yeah, wall
not,
of the building.
Yeah, I'm not sure how far down the building actually goes. There's some gentlemen here that from the applicant who could answer some questions if you like, but yes, and, okay. And the site plan is yet to go through. It needs to go through the Historic Preservation Commission for the Olive Street Design Guidelines, and then to the City Council once again in early June, perhaps for a site plan review.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Before we proceed, this is the time really when we have this item. We need a motion to approve. Motion made by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there further discussion on item K4? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Dr. Wagner, excuse me, the conditional use permit, this change to allow a height of 42 feet, what was the previous, was there a previous height to the building?
There was not. It was designed this way.
It was designed this way.
I think it would need to be... the height limitation was 35 feet, but then if you jumped up in building height, you would need it to go a little bit further away from the property line. But like I said, that was not possible because of the MST easement.
So there, if the building was only 35 feet high, it wouldn't be an issue of the property line easement?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
We do have one member of the public who has signed up to speak on this matter. I believe, Mr. Price, do you want to speak on this matter now, or do you want to speak on it when the bill comes up for, you can either do it now on the CUP or now on bill number 9402.
Good afternoon to the mayor and council. My comments would have been on 9462.
Mr. Price, you have been gone from these chambers far too long. You're going to have to give us your name and address.
Byron Price. 1520 78th Street, 63130. The comment I would like to make is related to, and I believe it's also Bill 9462, as well as a conditional use permit, is that in all the different plans I've seen, there is a contiguous design format as Olive develops. So if in fact the building has to stay the way it is, there should be some creativity not to make it look like a bare wall because of the length and the height. And then also, if MSD, which I don't trust, but MSD is saying something needs to happen, then we need to make sure what they're saying is exactly factual. So that's my comments is one, if in fact no change can be made, what creativity we're using not to just have a bare wall. And then number two, to verify exactly why it has to be turned the way it's turned based on what MSD is talking about. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Price. It's always nice to have you back in our chambers. You have before you, conditional use permit 22-05. Are there additional questions or comments of Mr. Wagner or of Mr. Rose? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to unfinished business. Bill number 9460. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9460, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 8630 Olive Boulevard.
May we have the third reading?
Bill 9460, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 8630 Olive Boulevard.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson. Mayor Crowe.
Aye. The bill has passed. Bill number 9461. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9461, an ordinance approving a final development plan for the proposed Avenir development located at 8630 Delmar Boulevard.
May we have the third reading?
And Bill 9461, an ordinance approving a final development plan for the proposed Avenir development located at 8630 Delmar Boulevard.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. We do have one request to speak on this bill. We have Mr. William Ash, who would like to speak on this bill. Mr. Ash, when you come forward, please give your name and address. Can you please hit the button on the bottom to turn on the microphone? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is William Ash. I live at 8690 West Kingsbury Avenue. And I appreciate this opportunity to speak for the record. I think I can safely say I speak for a vast majority of the residents of the Kingdale neighborhood just south of the Avenir development. We're all concerned with congestion of both vehicular and pedestrian traffic at the nexus of Kingdale and Delmar. By the city's own estimation, there's going to be 500 people living in that block now at Avenir, whereas just until recently there may have been 50. And I'm concerned with a lot of traffic coming down from Pice Road, which would be going much faster, people trying to turn in on that Kingdale Avenue ingress. And so I'm going to suggest a couple of changes to the wording before you go forward on the wording of the amended bill 9461. So under number one, you have that there will be no parking by any Avenir residents or staff on the east side of Kingdale Drive. I'm asking you to say on either side of Kingdale Drive, there's in that north of lot 526 Kingdale. There could be room for approximately six cars on the west side of Kingdale, and if people are coming in there fast to that intersection, they could run into cars there. It's going to make that drive much narrower. So I think it'd be much safer if that were exclude the parking on the west side as well. And that could go all the way up to lot 526. Even if there's no home there, that's where Barbie Avenue is now. I think it would be much safer. And under item two about the alarmed emergency exit, we don't want to allow, none of us in neighbors think that we should have an exit that is for either ingress or egress of either residents or non-residents. It's just going to create a lot more traffic there. It's going to be a safety issue with cars coming in there. The developer said in his letter back in 2020 that there would be no entrance to Avenir from any part of the neighborhood. So we feel this should be only an emergency exit. We'd like to have an alarmed exit, that the alarm would ring not only within the building to the maintenance staff there, but also to emergency services here in University City. I know there's the concern that there'd be too many false alarms, but I think that could be rectified by the people in the management verifying that there is a true emergency. Secondly, we think that this should be connected into the final development plan as well, not just in the residential leases, because the leases can come and go. It'd be hard to enforce such leases that there is no exit or entrance through that entrance. If the building should ever be sold or turn into condominiums or senior living, there would be no leases anymore. So we feel that it should be in in the plan itself that it should be attached to the property, that exit should be only for emergency services. We're also concerned that the developer might have two exits, one of which is labeled emergency and the other is for their residents to go in and out freely. We feel that's not in keeping with what the developer agreed that he would tell us, that he told us back in 2020. So that's basically it. During construction, we would like to have an ombudsman that we could call if there's any construction complaints or problems with construction going on at the wrong times. So that's basically it. We just want to make sure that entrance is for emergency use only. And we think it'd be just a safer situation. Not that we don't like residents in our neighborhood. That's not the point. We just feel that particular area right there at Kingdale at Del Mar, it's just a potential safety hazard that we want to forestall and not have to deal with later. And particularly that it should be in the property in perpetuity rather than just in the leases. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes our citizen comments on this matter. You have before you bill number 9461. It's been a third read. Motion to approve. Is there additional discussion on bill number 9461? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson. Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. The bill is passed. Bill number 9462. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9462, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of property at 6610 Olive Boulevard from GC, General Commercial District, to IC, Industrial Commercial District.
May we have the third reading?
Bill 9462, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of property at 6610 Olive Boulevard from GC, General Commercial District, to IC, Industrial Commercial District.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Mr. Rose, if you would, please, I would like to ask a few questions of Dr. Wagner.
Dr. Wagner?
Yes, sir. Thank you. First of all, what I'd like to ask is, in your professional opinion, would you recommend that a showroom face a secondary road or opposed to the main road, which is Olive? And what's your opinion about that?
Dr. Wagner, you might also indicate what are the guidelines that govern the facing of that type of a building that the developer must comply with?
Yes, the it has yet to go through the Historic Preservation Commission for the Olive Boulevard design guidelines. As far as whether it is facing the right direction, I think it depends on the type of business and the visibility that they'd like. I know that this is in reference to whether or not the main traffic for the showroom comes in on Olive or Vernon. The developer, the applicant has indicated that most of the traffic coming in to the warehouse portion of the facility will be coming maybe from out of town, perhaps more than likely from out of town. And they would be able to find the Olive Boulevard a little bit easier. Whereas most of the showroom people that be visiting the showroom area may be more local and maybe more apt to find it. I don't know the business well enough to know, and I don't know that portion of Vernon well enough and Olive to know if there's an issue with the trucks coming in from on Vernon and whether the trucks coming in on Olive can negotiate negotiate the turns and easier from either road. I didn't look at it from that perspective. As far as either one, I don't know that it's. I see your point though. I do see your point.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I mean, there's sure. a difference. I mean, you what you have on Vernon is a solid block of businesses on Vernon, but what you don't have on the north side of Olive is a solid block of businesses. I mean, that's basically I'll just simply say it, a mess. And that is a problem that we've been having for years on that side. So here we have, even though it's a warehouse business, but their commercial part of that business is actually going to be facing opposite of where it's really needed. And so though again, sure. in your opinion, but again, it sounds like you don't have the enough time or history yeah. here or experience with
right
yeah, that I mean, section or you city period to really understand yeah. the dynamics and what's happening.
That's true. I haven't been here long enough to understand, you know, just the dynamics of the area. And you know, it's a quality looking building, and it's yet to go through site plan review in the Historic Preservation Commission, so they can certainly comment on some of what goes along Olive.
Okay.
So
And that goes
I
along
wish I had a next, better answer for you, sir.
Right. But that goes along with the next question. If the city wanted a viable mixed use corridor, which we wanted there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you recommend the development of a warehouse use on its primary road? Would you recommend yeah. that?
I think that the Honorable Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem Smothers, then the issue really boils down to what's allowed. And if the codes are allowing it, then, you know, we make recommendations based upon whether we believe that a proposed development is complying with the standards that are in place. And in this case, I believe those, my understanding is that those standards have been met to date. So if there's a desire to change things, then you know certainly that's up to the mayor and council to do.
Right.
But I believe that our recommendation is based upon what the standards are and what is allowed.
But with this bill, what we're doing is changing those codes, are we not?
That's up to the mayor and council as a body. Right. What we're saying is what we think is reasonable. And it's up to the mayor and council to decide whether you agree or disagree with that.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that I just, you know, and I'm sorry that this is happening now, because I wish that I had been aware of this when this whole proposal was introduced, and then maybe that was a year ago, but wasn't aware it looked like this. I found out 2 weeks ago at the last council mm-hmm. meeting when I finally got the configuration of it, and I looked at that and just was like, wow, you're literally putting the back end of this building on a viable intersection and walls lining a needy section of Olive and all that we're going to get on the north side. So what I want to do before I go into that, and I'm simply want to say this, you know, one of the things that I've learned in being here is that, you know, historically industrial zoning has been used in most cities and I think in University City to segregate white residential areas of cities from Black and poor areas. So, and the reason I bring up that point is, are you aware of the Del Mar divide?
I am, yes. I'm not an expert on it by any stretch, but I've heard the term, yes.
Well, what's significant about this, and what's significant about this building and the configuration that you have, that Del Mar divide is also in University City. And if anybody in this room or anybody listening to this meeting right now, if you want to see in real time the disparity between that the north side of that divide opposed to the south side of that divide, go right there to this intersection of Kingsland and Olive, because as a, you know, typically look at what the third ward has. And this is what bothers me and worries me. I'm not against Crescent, and I've even told their owners, I don't have a problem with that at all. I have a problem with this configuration, because this configuration is going to be an historic development in that it's going to put a pinhole and put a wall in that divide, because all it is, as former council member Byron Price mentioned, it's dead walls. That's exclusion. I'm, as a councilman of the third ward, I see that will kill that intersection on the north side of Olive. Because guess what we have on the north side of Olive? Check cashing. Wow. Think about what I just said. A check cashing office on a viable corner. And we have a derelict rundown nightclub, restaurant, whatever you want to call it, on the other corner. I don't see a life in that at all, not with these walls. You also have, if you go straight down the line, you've got a warehouse that somebody's using as a warehouse. You've got Sierra Automotive, and then you've got Hartman. Oh my God. And Hartman has been a problem for the third ward and for Olive for years because of the way they stack up those cars and endanger residents that walk that street, because they literally have to walk across the street. So again, what I'm saying, what I'm asking, and I do understand that you haven't had the time or the history in University City, but I'm actually speaking to this council about this. This is historic. I made the suggestion to Crescent Plumbing owners about just turning this around 180. Because what would happen is that if you had that building facing Olive, which would then give it an Olive, legitimate Olive address, if you had that building facing the eastbound traffic coming down Olive, that's actually, and then having that parking lot, and you mentioned this, mm-hmm. having that parking lot on the end, which would allow, which could cover that, that the variance that's there with MSD. But what I'm actually saying is if you put that parking lot on Kingsland, that opens that intersection, that gives that intersection life. It allows it to breathe. Literally, you can see all the corners if you in fact have that open mm-hmm. lot with nice landscaping and fencing. We're going to have, with this approval, and I want to say this to the council, and I'm saying it to my colleagues, we're actually taking a step backwards, because now we're putting the industrial park on Olive. We're literally bringing the industrial park to Olive. That I find is a problem. We paid, and again, I'm going to take the time to do this. We paid a consultant over $100,000 to actually, and this council put together an economic development task force. And in that, with the recommendation that this council has approved, basically, not approved, but again, have accepted, is that we wanted tech and offices there, or maybe even residential. Now, there was somewhat, there was part of that was manufacturing. But I guarantee you, the recommendation wasn't to the extent that this building is giving us. The mm-hmm. back of this building with 42-foot walls that will line Olive, Kingsland, and Vernon. So again, you know, I think that's historic, because it those dead walls will kill that intersection, will kill any future development in my ward. Because who wants to face walls? So I do appreciate that time, your time, sir. Okay. I do appreciate that. But I would ask that we really consider what we're doing. And again, I understand what this is, and this is just changing the zoning. But that's a problem. And the problem is that we really need to face the impact. It's not just about sales tax and property tax. with the enormity of this building, it affects the Third Ward. It affects that intersection. And that will be a problem, because those dead walls will give me no life in reference to what happens on that north side of Olive. And that's all I'm asking you to consider, because Vernon is great. Vernon's is absolutely great. You just had Kingsland Walk that put their senior there. You've got the laundromat strip with Mi Ranchitos that's full every day. You've got the daycare center, that university daycare center there. You've got a warehouse there. I mean, that block is great. There's nothing going to happen with that block. This is not going to impact them at all. What it does impact is the north side. So again, I'll end this by simply saying that this ordinance is actually a step backwards. We really need to consider in the future, when those plans are brought before us, the impact that this warehouse is going to have on Olive.
Are there other questions or comments to be made? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Dr. Wagner, the proposed bill is to change the, or may I ask him a question, Mr. Rose? This to change the zoning in the area to industrial commercial. How close is this to the other industrial area there? Is it, it's just enlarging the industrial area, is it not?
Yes, the other two properties that Crescent is using are already zoned industrial commercial. So that's why the just 6610 is being rezoned to industrial commercial, because the other two are already zoned as such.
Thank you. And then I'd like to comment that on what my colleague said about this project taking a step back. I think this is taking a step forward. I think that being able to put a business like this, a very accomplished business and a business that has been established in St. Louis for many years into University City in this area is going to help stabilize this area. Certainly, you may not like to have to see a wall in there, but nothing has been happening in this area and these properties along Olive and Vernon and Kingsland. And I think that this is a very good thing, and that I think we're moving this area forward, and it'll be revitalizing to the area to bring more businesses in and to realize more potential for some industrial development in that area. So I have to say, I disagree with you, Mr. Smotherson, as to this taking a step back, because I think this is a step forward for the Second Ward and the Third Ward and all of University City and the area. Thank you.
Ms. Klein.
Yeah, I just like to clarify about the variance for MSD on the property and the floodplain status of that property. Just kind of get some more information on that.
If you don't mind, I'd like to defer to the engineer. I know a little bit about the MSD easement that cuts right across 6610. I'm not familiar with the floodplain status. So if you'd like to, the engineer for the project is in the audience.
Yeah, and maybe just comment on the complications and design around those factors.
George Stock of Stock and Associates.
Thank you, Dr. Wagner. Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, my name's George Stock. I'm with Stock and Associates Consulting Engineers. Council member, with regards to the MSD, so the site is bifurcated by the enclosed portion of River De Pere. It doesn't come through perfectly north and south. It comes at a skew. It comes from the northwest, southeast, and it takes the property and breaks it into approximately one third and two thirds. It has a wide easement because it's a large enclosed elliptical structure, actually an arch structure underneath. So that has impacted the positioning of the building and the parking on the site. Also, the site has, the property lines are not configured. If you looked at it from a bird's eye view down on the site and you see Olive, you see Kingsland, you see Vernon, it appears to be a perfect site. But there's irregularity to the site along Kingsland. The city, University City, owns a triangular piece of property that actually is away from the right of way, which causes the building to ask for the exception of the 2 foot on the conditional use permit. With regards to the stormwater improvements or the floodplain, so the site will be elevated such that all the improvements are above the 100-year floodplain, and the site will be treated as if it's back to grass. So we'll be providing stormwater attenuation both for flood control as well as water quality and volume reduction. So we'll be treating the first 1 inch that comes off in both above ground bioretention and underground system, which then all connect to that river de Pere. So we've had much dialogue with the Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District in coordinating this project specific to the easements and the rights that they need to retain in order to maintain those river de Pere facilities. So I'm happy to answer any other questions you might have.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just kind of want to comment that based on the complications that come with that property, and when I look at the plans and the use of the property, how it's designed in that way, and understanding that you as an engineer and the architects have used this property, I mean, I think you've done an amazing job. And I think that you understand how things need to be, where they need to be placed, where they'll work for your business. And I appreciate that. I think we're really excited to have this business in University City.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ms. Klein, anything else?
No. Thank
you. Anyone else? Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crew. Two things I wanted to say. First, I agree with Councilmember Cusick. You know, as we've looked to have reinvestment along Olive and grow our local businesses, I really thought that this end of Olive would be one of the biggest challenges. And I am personally thrilled to have such a longstanding, well-known business interested in being here and investing as much as they are planning to invest in our community. I do want to say, just as liaison to the Plan Commission, they looked this project over thoroughly. And we have members on the Plan Commission from all three wards. And it was overwhelmingly positive, and their vote was unanimous. So I just wanted to share those 2 points.
Anything else? We have before us a motion on bill number 9462. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Nay.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. The bill is passed. Now move forward to bill number 9463. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9463, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 6610 Olive Boulevard.
May we have the third reading?
Bill 9463, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 6610 Olive Boulevard.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I would again like to ask that the council or make a motion if necessary to have this postponed and actually go back through the Planning Commission, because I think that there's some information. And again, as my colleague said, that they may have in fact voted unanimously for this, but I think that there's some information and some things that have come to light that actually that they should hear, and also this council should hear at some given point in time. But I, you know, again, I make a motion to have this postponed and then have this go back through the Planning Commission, and again asking to just simply have it postponed 30 days so that it can go through the Planning Commission and come back to the council.
There's a motion to postpone. Is there a second? Hearing none, the motion dies without a second.
Okay, then I can continue my discussion. Is that right? Is that okay, Mayor?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. The reason that I have a real problem with this bill is because for me as a city councilman, I would hope that our city is above board and not misrepresent and not concede a misrepresenting attitude in reference to this address. Because if you look, in fact, at the diagram and the configuration of this property and this proposed warehouse. It is flat out the showroom and offices on Vernon. This is not on Olive. We are in the 21st century. You have GPS. They will not, their suppliers, their out-of-town suppliers, will not have a problem finding this facility. As a city, and I'm just simply stating that we should have a standard, above board standard. This company is going to be successful. I'm happy, and I'm not happy about the configuration, but I welcome Crescent. I had a very great discussion with the owners, but again, I'm not happy with the configuration, but I will say this, at least this, we don't have to concede and give everything to them. And that is integrity, because this is a misrepresentation. The address should be Vernon. Their office and showroom is on Vernon. The entrance to their driveway for that parking lot is on Vernon. Just simply give them a Vernon address.
You have, Mr. Smotherson, anything? You have before you bill number 9463. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Nay.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hills?
Aye.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. The bill has passed. We'll now move forward to new business. Resolution number 2022-3, certification of April 5th election. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. The resolution has passed. Now what we will do is my colleagues and I will adjourn this meeting sine die, and the city clerk will call those folks who are listed on the agenda, Mr. McMahon, Mr. Cusick, and myself, down to be sworn in as council members. This council has been adjourned sine die.
I, Steve McMahon,
do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I'm about to serve.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I'm about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
And that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I'm about to assume with impartiality and justice. Thank you.
No, I don't mean I. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me, please.
I,
Tim Cusick,
do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter of the office I am about to assume.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri. And the charter and ordinances of the University City.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice. Thank you.
I, Terry Crow,
do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter of the office I am about to assume.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of the University of Missouri.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City.
That I will be influenced only by the consideration of fitness in the appointment, promotion, or discharge of officers or employees.
And that I will be influenced only by the consideration of fitness in the appointment, promotion, or discharge of officers or employees.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office. Public service responsibilities of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties and public service responsibilities of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
Thank you. Thank you.
I would like to reconvene the council. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Council Member Klein?
Here.
Council Member McMahon?
Here.
Council Member Hills?
Here.
Council Member Cusick?
Here.
Council Member Smotherson?
Here.
Mayor Crow?
Here. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward with council reports and business. Are there any reports from any of the council members on this agenda item? Hearing none, we will move forward into citizen participation. We have one request to speak. If you'll come forward, give your name and address and a 5-minute limit. Mr. Glickert.
Thank you very much. Steve Glickert, 7750 Blackberry. I tuned into the meeting 2 weeks ago. I was slightly amused by our two Third Ward council members on the proposed banquet center parking, the possibility to overflow onto what would be Mr. Smotherson Street, and their preparedness that they had 2 days to prepare for these questions and that they had these concerns that it might affect what would be technically legal parking, if I'm not mistaken. And they would be operable vehicles that are licensed. But for 4 years, I've been asking you, and you've disappeared after the first 6 months. You haven't responded on any of the emails. You've left it all for Mr. Rose. And those conditions still exist. They're all ugly. they're parked on their lawns, they're not licensed, and you're concerned about your street and you're concerned about legal parking. Where have you been? And where have you been, Mr. Rose? All you fed me are his excuses, dodges. I'm still waiting for you to answer why you're not utilizing code 385.010. I've asked you at least 6 times in emails, and you've not explained why you're not using that code. You've given me 8 other excuses on why you haven't been able to make any progress on all these illegal vehicles. They're all in your ward. And as of January, on an unfortunate situation for my family, I now own property in the third ward. So I'm a concerned property owner now. I want to see you do some work on this. You say you're in those alleys all the time. That is what you said. Those are your words. And there's been no progress for 4 years. I can still produce the same pictures I took 3.5 years ago today. The same cars still sit there. They're on the lawn. Did you offer Mr. McMiller, I believe his name is, for the banquet center? Did you offer him the possibility of parking cars on lawns on Purdue? That would open your street up. Be no parking on the street, because you seem to prefer to allow cars to park on lawns. They're all over there, man. They don't move. You're concerned about a wall for Crescent, but you've got serious decay going on in my new property area. And it's been that way for quite a while. So what do you have to say to the residents that take care of their property, invest in their home, want a nice neighborhood, and they have to look at a miniature junkyard filled with lawnmowers, cars, abandoned cars, derelict cars, unlicensed cars? You want to wake up to that every morning? Apparently not, because you don't want legal cars on your street. Have you ever watched Mr. Cusick's campaign video? He's on Mona Drive, pointing out a nice house that had just been rehabbed. The camera pans and shows the river to pair with all the debris. And his statement in that was, nobody should have to live like that. So you need to get to work. It's been 4 years. You need to get to work. It's time. You've brushed me off. You filled me with excuses. And I'm still waiting for an answer on why you're not utilizing that code. Thank you.
That concludes our citizen comments for the evening. Are there any council comments this evening? Mr. Cusick.
Yes, sir. This is the part of the evening where we have a paid advertiser. So I'm doing a spiel for U City in Bloom again. And finally, the annual plant sale is coming up. It'll be this Friday at the community center. And everyone knows who U City is in Bloom is, so please come out and support them. And then the plant sale will be going on over the weekend. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I would just like to thank the folks that did come out and voted in our last election. If I looked at the St. Louis County website, it looks like most of our precincts had higher turnout than most in the county. I think our average is up a little higher, so it's great that people come out and vote regardless of their positions on issues. I'd like to thank the folks for voting me for one more go-round here on council, and that it's an honor and privilege to serve the residents in the first ward in the city. And I'd like to thank, if he's still here, my son Aiden, so my grandson Aiden, who likes to see me at meetings. And so I'm so glad he could hang out and make it through the length of this thing. This is what I do on those Monday nights, Aiden. And thank my wife for her support through all this as well. And thank you very much.
And Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. It looks like he left, because I wanted to actually address Mr. Steve Glickert and invite him to give me a call and or stop by my house so that we can sit down and verify the work that I've done for the past 4 years. But other than that, I'll leave it at that. And everybody have a good night.
Ms. Klein.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everyone that Wednesday there will be an Arbor Day celebration at the Green Center from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And at 1 o'clock, there'll be a ceremonial tree planting, and there'll be free seedlings for anyone that would like to take one home.
Thank you. Just very quickly, I would like to pass along our condolences to the family of Orlando Watson, who was truly a U-City kid who became quite a successful entrepreneur, very engaged in our community on any number of levels, and fought the good fight more than once against cancer, and sadly succumbed at far too early of an age. I know my colleagues join me in giving our condolences to his family as they move forward. And if anyone has not had the chance, the article in the Post-Dispatch was incredibly educating on all of the many aspects of Orlando's life and all of his contributions to our community. With that, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri's last statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, litigation involving a governmental body, and any confidential privileged communications between that governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson. Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. Thank you very much. We will move immediately into executive session.